All I know, I keep making this fooler. I stay protected, that blue steel do ya. Yeah, my chick bad and I keep the Kill Bill, yeah. Born and raised, thoroughbred trio. Let's go, let's go.
Hey, this is Randy West coming from OSP at our annual Yahoo Sasa Talent Show.
Yeah, let me be clear about it. I got it. You way out of pocket. Go bring this shit here. Getting body back, tipping the bottle back. This is a
yeah, this your boy TJ down in OSP, man. I'm telling you, rap music, you know what I'm saying? R&B, you know what I'm saying? Got a little bit of comedy up in there, man.
Y'all make sure y'all tune in June 25th at 6:30 p.m. Check out some of these guys from the OSP prison doing their thing, you know? We got a lot of acts and a lot of talent in here to share with the world, so just make sure y'all check that out. June 25th, 6:30 p.m. Prison Pipeline, y'all.
Tell me, baby, are we gonna let the elevator bring us down? Oh, no, let's go.
This is KBOO Portland. The time now is 8 o'clock. Coming up this morning on KBOO, next it will be the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show. Joe takes a look at the current state of affairs. You think it's bad? No, it's worse. At 9 on Alternative Radio, author and activist Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz says it's time to face the truth about Native America. At 10, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. And at 10:15, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11 on Stage and Studio, D-May features Alaska Native playwright Vera Starbart in her play Our Voices Will Be Heard. At 11:30 on Art Focus, Joseph Galaban interviews Daniel Peabody about the sculptor Lee Kelly, an Oregon legend still working at age 86.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of SEMA, Sacred Dance of the Whirling Dervishes, Sunday, June 24th at 3:30 p.m. at the New Expressive Works in Portland. The SEMA ceremony will be presented by the Mev Levi Order of America to honor the mystical poet Jalaluddin Rumi. The mystical journey toward perfection is symbolized in this ceremony of whirling prayer directed by the Posnishan Jalaluddin Loras. The musical ensemble will feature the Ney, Odd, and Kudum, as well as vocals. Again, that's SEMA, Sacred Dance of the Whirling Dervishes, Sunday, June 24th at 3:30 p.m. at the New Expressive Works, 810 Southeast Belmont Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO listener members and support from Indigo Gardens, located in East Portland, providing fresh-cut floral designs for weddings, events, and personal bouquets. Indigo Gardens also offers a weekly summer bouquet CSA. More information is available by phone at 503-421-1435 and online at indigogardenspdx.com.
Okay, good morning. This is KBOO 90.7 on your FM dial here in Portland, Oregon. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show. Abe Proctor and Joe Uris. I'm Joe. Abe isn't here. He's getting a little well-earned vacation. The number to call, 231-8187. This is, after all, Talk Radio. I am really upset. I have joked and gotten angry and felt sad and creeped out by the current faker in office at the chief position in our culture. I see the danger, really danger, not only of fascism, but of the end in general, of the importance of and even the significance of the nation that I have both loved and been critical of. That is the United States of America. But I think, oddly enough, it is the children that shall lead us out of this dilemma. I can't believe Jefferson Beauregard Sessions, little twerp, man, he's a little twerp, our attorney general. By the way, have you noticed that all of Trump's appointees are basically third or fourth class people who have been selected solely to represent or echo the Trump line, whatever the hell that happens to be that week or that day? Well, Jeff is a little different than that. Jeff is a real, true Southern segregationist idiot. He is the doll of the old days. And I also want to be clear that what I'm going to be talking about, and what I hope you'll be talking about too, is the stealing of children from their desperate parents at the border. I want to first begin by pointing out that people coming to the border in this particular category are people who are seeking asylum because of domestic violence, political violence, gang violence, other forms of horrible behaviors in nation states of Central America, which, and this is important, in which we have created the situations and the precursors, and in fact the actual governments that commit these violences. It's not an accident. It's not a coincidence of history. It's a directly caused by the United States series of events that have driven people from Central America into the arms of the United States, the loving arms of the United States. And in this context, we actually have Jefferson Beauregard. I just love that name, Jefferson Beauregard Sessions, quoting St. Paul on the question of servants and slaves and the role of individuals toward as servants, as slaves. Now, that, first of all, was written centuries ago. But beyond that, that was the classic justification for slavery during the pre-Civil War period. That is that, you know, if you're born a slave, hey, you should be loyal to your master. That is Jefferson Sessions. He's saying that. And it's very revealing. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, so far, what, about 2,000 little children, many of them, babes in our one babe yanked from her or his mother's breast. These children are put in cages. Let's not mince words. When you have what I know to be what you have at a dog kennel in the county, that is, you know, cyclone fences, putting children away, that's cages. When you don't give them decent bedding, that's cages. It's horrendous. It's horrible. It's un-American. It's inhumane. And it's something that everyone, regardless of their political stripe, should be outraged at. And indeed, we're seeing that. All of the first ladies have risen up. All kinds of people have expressed anger. It will, I think, be, ironically, the death of the myth of a justified conservatism on the part of the right. This decision, which I want to be clear about this, the actual plan for this decision was first expressed, to my knowledge, in March of 17 by John Kelly, that inestimable fool, who said, well, you know, this is a good plan. We'll discourage people coming north. We'll just grab their babies. Yeah, right. Grab their babies. And we have, and I want this to be clear, no way of reuniting families. We don't have a marker. We don't have a number. We don't have anything that links the children with their families. So that when and if the parents are charged with crimes or are deported or whatever, the children who are dispersed throughout the country have no way of reaching out to their parents, and the parents no way of reaching out to them. This is so dreadful, so, what, neo-Nazi, that it's just unbelievable. And I believe, I'm pretty certain about this, that the American people, even the most conservative or the most liberal of us, cannot tolerate this and will be on our guard and involved in the streets. In fact, here's a plea. I want to sound a little bit like Trump. Remember Trump said to the Russians, if you're listening, get a hold of Hillary's emails. You know, remember that blather? Now, I have an equivalent bit of blather. If you are a member of a radical organization, of the Antifa organizations, Black Bloc, whatever, this is the issue in which you can gain support from almost everybody. And all of us should not just be in the streets, we should be in the face of every authority in the country demanding that this end. And there's no deal. We should not make a deal. No stupid wall, no stupid system that hurts the DAFA. I mean, this is outrageous. This is immoral. This is inhumane. And it's going to go on until we, the American people, stop it. You can't just be in the street. You got to be at the city council. You got to be at the county commission. You got to be at the state legislature. You got to be at the Congress of the United States. You got to be everywhere, all over, and as many as you possibly can. It's bigger than and more important than Trump, the private part groping person. It's bigger than that. It's bigger than his sexual escapades. It's bigger than his lying the use of Hollywood extras and theater extras to pretend to have his initial crowds. It's bigger than any of the stupid lies. By the way, Trump, you know how to tell when Trump's lying, right? It's really easy. He'll say something. This is a man who either has no mind or doesn't mind just giving everyone nonsense, knowing that he has some 20 to 30 to maybe even 40% of the voting support that he needs to maintain his authority. This is the moment that everyone can take advantage of, and I don't like to use words like advantage in a situation of such horror, but I don't know what other term is right. This is the moment where humanitarian awareness, where the sense of justice, where the sense of what American society has been, could be, but right now will not be. And while I'm on that subject, did you know that the Koch brothers are pouring money into Tennessee to stop any light rail system or any freeways or any improvements because they make money on oil, and oil is what powers ultimately automobiles. And that's what's going on. So, that's not the issue I want to focus on, though. I really want to focus on this child theft business. It is so horrible, and it is, by the way, the Achilles heel. Now all the pretense of concern for the American people, all the notions of democracy, all the notions of this being a just republic, all the ideas that somehow justify the horror of the cruelty of this administration are revealed for what they are. We are child stealers as a nation. We thieve children from their mothers' bosoms. We are as cruel as it can get short of murdering these people. And I wouldn't put it past them to do that. By the way, I don't think there's anything I would doubt this administration being capable of. I'm hoping that our outrage will grow and will arm us to come forward. I'm not talking about guns here. Arm us in political and moral terms, to come forward and demand not just that Congress pass decent legislation on the DAFA and so on, but that this process, which is not legal, by the way, there's no law requiring it, and the lie of Trump that the Democrats have some role in this, nonsense. The fact of the matter is there is no legal precedent. There is no legal reason to separate families. In fact, there is psychiatric evidence. There's all kinds of other evidence that children deprived of the contact with their parents suffer severe psychiatric problems, that this is a population that is being damaged. 2,000 kids, at least so far, being damaged, harmed, hurt, in pain, crying out, separated from their parents with no logical way to get back together with them. This is so horrible, so disgusting, and it's so real. How much more of this terrible, terrible, fecally enriched nonsense are we going to take? I, again, repeat what I know. How do you tell when Donald Trump is lying? When he tweets or talks. The guy can't tell the truth. He can't remember. It's the best interpretation. He can't remember the truth. He has no idea of the truth. I'm very upset. And I think you should be very upset. And I want to hear from you. And I want to hear your ideas about what we should be doing. What we as a nation, what we as individuals should be doing to counter this horrible behavior. Remember that this government, this Trump government, has separated us from the democratic institutions and the democratic ideals of Western Europe, has destroyed the alliance that defeated the Soviet imperial efforts. We are the inheritors of great success now being squandered, being destroyed, being ruined by monopoly capital combined with the crazy Trump. So let's hear from you. 231-8187. Jim, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What should be done?
Yes.
What should we be doing? We should be facing facts. As Stanley Kowalski so emphatically exclaimed, cut the rebop.
Okay.
These detention centers are profit-oriented, corporate-owned, ultimately taxpayer-funded concentration camps.
Right.
If I may paraphrase, first they came for the Muslims, then they came for the immigrants. You get it.
Yeah.
Republicans and Democrats in the 80s and 90s were happy to appease the business community by allowing the corrupt sieve called Immigration and Border Control Services to admit vast numbers of so-called immigrants into the country to provide cheap labor to undercut and destroy unions and allow so-called entrepreneurs to gather wealth and political power that manifests in the general situations we are afflicted with today. The destabilization of various regions is part of the process to provide an unending supply of cheap labor, which is the bottom line. Your thoughts on this, please.
Well, I agree with what you said. I think, first of all, remember that over a year ago, I believe it was, in March of 17, John Kelly indicated that they would be doing exactly what they're doing with these children. It's not something that they didn't plan on. It's not something that happened by accident. And let's be clear, it's not something that is legal, and it's not something that the Democrats or even the Republicans had anything to do with. This is the ideal model for the Trump administration's authoritarian attack on democracy. And it won't be just children of immigrants. It won't be just the desperate from Central America. If this is allowed to continue, it will be remarkably common for people to be locked away without the right of habeas corpus. This is a precedent that is so dangerous to our society, and it is so incredibly cruel. I mean, even the Pope, there's nobody of any reputation, even religious leaders of the conservative stripe are saying, you know, this is wrong. This is wrong. Anyone who's ever thought about family who's ever thought about the lives of women who are bearing children, anyone who's ever thought about fathers who are concerned for their kids, anyone who's ever thought about a humane society knows that this is a violation not only of law, not only of natural rights, but in fact a violation of the common humanity of the world. It's terrible, terrible. That's my thoughts.
Well, not to bicker.
Okay, not to bicker.
This is hardly, what you described, it's hardly a precedent.
No.
And when you mentioned the right of habeas corpus, a legacy of 800 years passed on from the Magna Carta, that has long since become a rather moot topic. Signing statements by various inhabitants of the White House have rendered this so. And in regard to I'm going to give someone else a chance to call.
Okay, that's a good idea. You know, thanks a lot for the call. You know, I actually think that this might be the turning point where the bull pucky of the Trump. Remember, he descends the escalator with paid cheerers. He appears in front of crowds with paid actors. He, in fact, has the same people in the background on all of his shots, in many cases, all over the country. The people who support him, I actually have to agree with Hillary on this. They are the worst people ever to become characters on this bad bit of theater. And there's no excuse for it. There is no justification. I watched, I think it was MSNBC, which, by the way, is very useful if you happen to have cable or satellite or whatever. I watched MSNBC yesterday, and it was CNN. It was CNN. And there was one woman defending all of this, and she had her facts wrong, and she looked insanely crazy. And she was dealing with people who were professionals, a couple of them in the world of childcare. And it was so ugly, so horrifying, so irrational, so full of lies. And Kellyanne, who lies. And Jeff Sessions, who is a absolutely disgusting little piggy who insists upon pushing forward segregationist points of view, who actually argues the points of view that were used during the pre-Civil War era to justify slavery in the United States. This is something everybody should be angry about. This is something that hasn't got to do with left or right. This is something that has to do with right or wrong. And this is ultimately immoral and wrong. And we, all of us, should not stand for it. We should not just be in the streets. We should be at our city councils. We should be at our county commissions. We should be at our state legislatures. We should be at the national legislature. We should be in the courts. We should be everywhere demanding the immediate end of this program and no trade. What Trump is trying to do is force the Democrats into the position where they have to go for his, I can't say what the Mexican, what Fox, the ex-Mexican president said, but this is the effort to force the building of his stupid wall. And this is so ugly. This is being done on the backs of desperate people. This is being done at the harm of children. I think my heart is a little bit broken on this. This is so ugly. This is the United States doing something that is, what do you want to call it, Nazi-like? It's just incredible. It's just ugly, and I'm really upset that more of us aren't angrier, and I assume that the audience I'm speaking to probably has that same consciousness, so I don't want to get righteously preaching to the converted, but it's something that takes more than just feeling, something that takes more than just letter writing or email posting, or it takes more than just marching in the streets. If there ever was a need for a black bloc, this is it, by the way. It is the moment when we as a people are being tested at the most extreme levels, and we must not fail this test. Do we have other callers? James.
Good morning.
Morning.
You know, I I see a lot of pearl clutching online talking about this isn't who we are, this isn't America. But I mean, you know, of all the civil rights struggles we've made, they've only been legal. We've never really changed the culture around how our nation feels about black and brown people.
That's true.
I mean, the same boogeyman tactics that Trump is using were the same boogeyman tactics when Mexicans were coming back over here into our land, by the way, into our land. This is the same boogeyman tactics they used before. You know, they want our slave labor, but they don't want us to have any rights. They want to have their Taco Tuesdays, but they don't want to be able to support us. You know, it's the same boogeyman tactics they used during the Civil War, when they were trying to convince, you know, poor white farmers to fight for rich whites. I mean, we've made legal changes, but very little has changed in terms of culture. And, you know, honestly, I mean, as much as Trump's people are the worst, and I'll agree with you, the biggest problem we've had, like MLK said, is the white moderate, the people who are more interested in order than justice. We've been so interested in order. I mean, the same arguments that were used against Black Lives Matter were used against Martin Luther King, and you know, and white liberals love to prop up Martin Luther King every time we have a disagreement on how things should be done. You know, I mean, it's just, I am outraged, don't get me wrong, but I feel like it's too little too late.
Well, it's never too late.
If we wanted to change the culture, we would have done it by now. I mean, the truth of the matter is that white liberals are just as guilty as white conservatives of propping up racism.
Okay, I'm going to interrupt you here to use a line I've used quite a few times on the air. Mm-hmm. One that I learned from Dorothy Day, a pacifist, interestingly enough, a Catholic anarchist, who said the worst sin, perhaps, of people who are active is the sin of despair. And I'm at the edge of that.
Yeah.
And I think you are too. But that's wrong. This is the time when we all ought to be struggling. We all ought to be in the streets. We all ought to be at the courthouse. We all ought to be at meetings. We should interrupt business as usual, demanding that these children be reunited with their parents and that these people seeking asylum be given a just hearing. I'm going to let you go give some others a chance. I thank you very much for your call. A lot of you calling. I want to share, I think, what is going to prove to be an outrage by many people. But beyond that, I have to argue that this is not just where you get angry and yell, and where you express the opinions on KBOO, the minority left liberal station, but that you put that anger, you put that energy into creative, insistent demands for change. This guy was elected president with the aid of the Russians and with the manipulation of the state governments. This guy, this fat, and I don't like to, you know, I don't like fat shaming or whatever, but in this case, I'll do it. This fat fool with the fake hair who has no mind whatsoever, who can't and doesn't and won't ever know any history, understand any cause or effect, and is so arrogant and so ugly and so dangerous. This guy is the president of the United States. This cannot stand. This is the most challenging situation I can recall. And I want to know what your ideas about what we should do about it. Not just that we're mad, not just that we're disappointed, not just that we see injustice being done here, but that we have plans, that we're going to take action, that we're going to insist that this not stand. Now, it's not an issue which we can readily address with rational discourse, except to say what we're doing, except to show in the New York Times or in the Oregonian or other sources that we're angry, that we don't like it. But also, and this is really important, this may be the point at which the Trump falsehoods become nakedly available to us, and we all can understand the fascist nature of this man. All right, I want to hear from you. 231-8187. Francis, you're on the air. Francis?
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air. You're on the air.
Hi. Ditto to two callers.
Pardon me? Are you there? All right, let's go to the next caller. We'll come back to Francis.
Hello, can you hear me?
Okay, Francis, Edie. Francis, stand by. Edie, go ahead.
Everybody, please come this Wednesday, June 20th, 5 to 6 to make signs, 6 to 8 at Terry Srunk Plaza for World Refugee Day. This is hosted by Unite Oregon, and it's called Mourn, Pray, Love, and Take Action. It's a free event. Please come this Wednesday, June 20th, Terry Srunk Plaza, Southwest 3rd and Madison. Also, this Saturday...
What time? I'm sorry, what time on June 20th?
5 to 6 is sign making, 6 to 8 is rally and information.
Okay.
And I would love it if you even got earlier just to kind of line the streets when people are commuting to let them know. This Saturday, June 23rd, at IRCO, Immigrant Refugee Community Organization, from 11 to 3, is going to be World Refugee Day. It's at 103rd and Northeast Gleason, free admission. They're going to have songs, dance, performers, booths, free food, celebration. The first one is to get publicity Wednesday to unite folks to change things, to resist and fight, affect corporations and politicians. And Saturday is to give moral support, compassion, understanding, celebration, and welcome to our immigrants and refugees.
Oh, these are events people should attend. But I feel that this is just the beginning of what needs to happen. I'm all for these events, and I think we should all show up at them. But it's got to be the start of something else. It's got to be a
and
program.
And also, Thursdays, noon to 12, or whenever you can, just walk around ICE, Southwest McAdam, and Bancroft. Let the drivers by know this is ICE because they don't know it. They have cages for children and people in the parking lot in that structure that's not air-conditioned in the summer and not heated in the winter. They transport people to the Sheridan facility and out the gorge. So please, this Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday.
Thank you very much for the information. I hope people show up. I think they will.
Thanks.
And I'm going to go now. Let's try to get Frances back because Okay, I'm sorry. I hope she does. Next caller, please. Who is it? Doug, you're on the air.
Okay. Well, you know, the Republican Party has been taken over by the alt-right.
Uh-huh.
And so their number one priority is they think that white people are going to be a minority in America by 2040. So, meanwhile, I don't know if you heard yesterday that the Union of Concerned Scientists said that flooding from sea level rise threatens over 300,000 U.S. coastal homes. So the number one priority really to the world is the existential threat of climate change, which no one is talking about. And then, but to the right wing, alt-right, the number one priority for them is they think they need to stop black and brown people from overpopulating white people in America. So how are we going to... what is wrong with white people? For 58% of the Republican Party to say that to think it's okay to put little kids in cages and separate them from their families. If you think about that, 58% of the Republican Party is in support of this policy. My question for you is, and when I ask this, you know, I'm black and white, but what the hell is wrong with white people?
It's an interesting question. There is a certain pathology of being the historic rulers. I think seriously, I'm answering you very seriously. I don't think it's a genetic issue. I think it has to do with dominance. I think it has to do really going way back to the founding of the country, in which essentially the Constitution enshrined white men as the power, white landowning men as the powerful, and took away or made sure there would be no rights for women, no rights for African Americans, no whites, no rights for Native Americans or anyone else. This kind of imperialist arrogance is embedded in our culture. I learned it in school. Maybe you did. Maybe many people did. Now is the time when we have to end this process. This is the symbolic and real event that tells us how awful it is.
Well, okay. Most human beings, I mean, this is a violation of international law.
Oh, yeah.
Of human rights.
Mm-hmm.
Separating parents from children and locking up 1-year-olds, 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds in cages. I mean, if you really think about this, this is a simple scenario. This is an easy thing to determine that this is humanly absolutely wrong. And so how could 60%, almost 60% of the Republican Party think that something like this is okay? It has to be something wrong mentally with some white people. How did you turn out okay?
Well, I don't think it's, first of all, I'm a little nervous about what you're saying, because you're suggesting there's a genetic fault here somehow. I don't think it is that. I think that it is a historical fact of white skin privilege that came about beginning at the very beginning of the country and following through in its history. I think, however, that is changeable, and we have seen some changes. The problem is that a lot of people, as you suggested, are threatened by the fact that the country's demographics are changing and that we as a nation may have payback that could be pretty horrible. I want to thank you for the call, though, because you're really asking an interesting question. What is wrong? I don't even ask what's wrong with white people. I say, what's wrong with America that it doesn't turn its attention to the horror that this administration keeps on committing? Anyway, thanks a lot for the call, man. Diane, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning. Two fast points. One of them is, what would the Christians today do if the Holy Family were fleeing King Herod and Donald Trump were in office?
Good reasoning, good question. Okay.
And the other one is a quote from the book called Dalva, D-A-L-V-A. And he said, my Uncle Paul used to say that they ought to run an open sewer in 1,000-yard pig troughs through the Senate, House, and White House, to remind these folks what and who they are.
Well, how would that work, aside from the fact of making them all dirty and smelly?
Well, they're dirty and smelly now.
I kind of agree with you, but I'm not sure if there's a real idea there or simply a metaphor.
Probably just a metaphor, but I love it.
Okay, well, great. Thank you very much for the call.
Thank you, Pete.
Oh, Francis, you've returned to us. What's up? No? What? I think AT&T or somebody's messing with you. Who do we have? Martha, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you.
Go ahead.
Yes, I agree with the fact that I think this is the end of Trump's dictatorship, should I say. When you take children and you cannot even hug them, something is definitely wrong. There is a terminology that they've shot themselves in the foot. Mm-hmm. I do believe with this one that he has finally shot himself in the head. This is going to bring him down big time.
I hope so. I mean, this is such a naked example of abuse of power, and it's so cruel, and it's so pointless. And knowing that it's not an accident that a year ago, one of Trump's chief advisors essentially said, this is what we should do, and now we're doing it. And to have Sessions, the little twerp, you know, the little segregationist twerp, quoting St. Paul to justify this in the same quotation that was used in the pre-Civil War era in the South to justify slavery. This is so naked, so obvious, and so cruel. It's got to be challenged by everybody, but you can't all just be angry at home. I'm afraid you have to be angry in the street, you have to be angry in the courthouses, you have to be angry in the schools, you have to be angry on the job, you have to be angry everywhere. Also, you have to be, and this is really important from my perspective, nonviolent. Because if we give them the excuse that we are violent, they will use it. They will use it.
Yeah. Well, I'm really afraid almost to use my terminology that I did, but that's just what it is terminology.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really sad is the fact that I am a voting Republican, and I have not voted Republican for probably about 12, 15, maybe 20 years.
Mm.
And how sad. I don't want to change my party, but I can vote the way I want when I go to the polls. And it's just a sad situation. Most people treat dogs better than what they are these children. I've done child care all my life. You give children a hug. I don't care who and what color or whatever. You give them hugs, and they are told not to hug them. Are you kidding me?
Really? I mean, they actually, this is a point people may not know. They're actually being told, the children are being told not to hug each other, not to comfort each other. Why? I don't know. Because ICE and its cohorts are cruel, and they're carrying out cruel orders. And when you start on a path of cruelty, the only way you can keep going is to be ever more cruel. I think that's a psychological necessity. Otherwise, you suddenly have to turn to your own humanity, and then you can't keep doing this.
Yeah, well, there was also another terminology from one of the ladies in the Grange, and they all said, it was probably from her husband, that said, love your enemy, it'll drive them crazy. But I'm telling you, it's kind of hard to do it with Trump. I mean, you can't believe a word he says. I mean...
No, literally. This is really amazing. Literally, how to tell when Trump's lying... He's talking or he's tweeting.
Exactly. You know, and I'm sorry, but my mom and dad never lied to us kids, and so we never learned to lie. And I can't even imagine what would have happened if we did. We must have learned early not to.
Yeah, I don't think you were taught through cruelty, though. I think you probably were taught through example.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, and so... So I don't know, but when you start picking on children, I even got really upset people were picking on Trump's son. Excuse me, you leave children out of it.
Really?
That's not necessary. When they're adults, that's a different story. They can defend themselves. But you don't pick on children, ever. And so, and like I said, I'm a registered Republican, but I am not pleased with this at all. None of it.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I want to move on to other people. There's a lot of people calling us. This is a moment which may have historical significance, not here on this show, but in general on this issue. This is ultimate cruelty. This is an example of extreme fascism. It reminds one of the Nazis and others. And it is absolutely something that we all need to be actively, physically, visibly involved in to oppose it. And I want to go, I think Francis is back. Are you there?
Can you hear me?
I can.
Good. What Congress is representatives of the people, not corporations, the people. And they are not representing us. It shouldn't matter who is in that White House right now. We should have a Congress that is standing up for the people, and they are not. So we can handle that. I think one of your previous callers did say there's all over the country there's going to be rallies on June 30th. I know the one in Washington, D.C. is at 11 o'clock. But I don't know if there's going to be one around Portland. I haven't heard. But, you know, I have a dear friend who told me that when I talk about these things, I always talk about other people and not myself and the situations that my family has been in and my husband going to prison and all this stuff. And I was taught to speak in the third person. And that's how you make a point and make an argument, and you don't make it personal because it's not just about you. But right now it is about me. And I have been saying for years, what we're seeing right now is just the tip of the iceberg. All over the world, all over this country, at this very moment, there are little babies, little children crying, sobbing in pain and agony and trauma. from bombs, from being in solitary confinement in one of the juvenile prisons in the United States of America. You know, and right now it isn't about any of these dang corporations. And that man that's in the White House, God bless him. He is revealing, he's exposing every hateful thing that has been going on in this country for years and years and years and years. And I do not like what's happening to these babies right now, but a whole lot has been happening to babies all over this world for a very, very, very long time at the hands of these corporate conflict hate mongers. And we need to understand, we the people run this country, not those damn, excuse my language, those corporations. They do not run anything. They need to go sit down. And if they want to make some profits, they can quit all this short-term profit crap and start investing long-term in making life as comfortable and as joyful as possible for all the babies born to this earth. Right now, they need to stop.
Thank you very much.
They know who they are. They know exactly who they are. We don't need to prove anything. We don't need to show they did this. We don't need to have studies to show what trauma is, racial profiling does to young children. We already know. They just need to stop and find another way to make bank that helps babies. I'm through.
Okay, thank you very much for the call. And I share your anger. I share your outrage. I hope that people will go to these various events, and I hope that that this movement is the breaking of the craziness of the fascist leadership in this country at this time. And I think it might be. I think they go one step beyond what's tolerable for the American mind when they attack women and children coming here just seeking asylum, not even doing anything wrong, really. And we have always had asylum. We have been a nation traditionally of asylum. By the way, we have precedent for the bad behavior of this administration. Remember that in the beginnings of the fascist era in Europe, in the time of Nazism, when Jewish refugees sought solace and help by being allowed to come to the United States, we turned them away. That was a bad precedent, and it continues to this day, and this is part of that. This is part of that precedent. And the reasons in each case are complicated, but the fact of the matter is that this is an event which can reveal to anyone who wants to look exactly what the hell's going on. 231-8187. Who's next? Colin, you're on the air.
Morning, Joe.
Morning.
And thank you for your show, and I appreciate the way you opened with the idea of just calling in with a solution to what the problem is right now. And I just wanted to kind of lay out there my idea from living in, worker-owned co-op, really tight-knit community, to that maybe the solution here is to have every church, community center, everybody with a spare room to call their congressman and say, we do have a place for these people to be, mm-hmm. and not in a for-profit detention center, and offer that up and call, overwhelm their lines with an alternative to what they're doing right now. Really, more than anything, to kind of put in the face of the people with those, Christian personal, values that a community is more than willing to help someone else in need. But the irony of this to me is we're witnessing the people who really don't want federal overreach, watching them destroy local sovereignty by allowing local law enforcement and local community to decide what to do, rather than the feds moving in and telling us, how they're going to run.
Well, that's an interesting irony. I mean, there is no consistency to the right-wing arguments. I mean, I'm looking at a lot of different things. I read in the New York Times this morning that the Koch brothers are spending a fortune in Tennessee to try to block rapid transit, light rail, and better highways, because they know that the greater consumption of gasoline and other fuels from the petrochemical industry will make them even richer than they already are, even though they are billionaires. And it's just a really creepy, creepy sense. To me, it is beyond humanity. It is in the place where one becomes less than human in one's pursuit of profit.
Well, I see it as an incremental breaking down of community and the sovereignty of what the decision. decision-making process that we do locally, you know? And you know, I mean, you're a history buff, too. This is how authoritarian, you know, regimes come into power. They pit people against each other, and then they slowly, you know, destroy the local community and sovereignty and come in with an authoritarian, you know, law or rule overall. But anyway, I think there is a solution. That is just let, you know, Congress know, let everybody know. They're, you know, send them to, you know, local community places to be taken care of during their process.
Yeah, and I also think that this is the time to remind people that the way, the fundamental way that this bad Congress got created, the fundamental way that Trump slid into office, is that not enough of us, particularly the younger of us, voted. And this is, you know, it isn't about looking to have a socialist solution or looking to have a social democratic solution. This is about stopping fascism. That's the first thing that must be done. And we're not doing it. We got to do it.
And I agree, and I think fundamentally what's happened is that so many people have lost faith in how the system works, and your caller before talked about, you know, the corporate overreach and running the show. You know, you're talking about the Koch brothers, that people have lost faith in whether that system will work for them. And even having a president that was voted in by electoral college rather than the populist vote has become something that people look at the system like, well, why participate in something that's not particularly working? And I agree with you, it should be done. But at the same time, I can see why people have lost hope in the system. Systematically, we've witnessed that even to get into office and participate in Congress and any of those positions, you have to be tied to money somehow.
Well, that is a problem. There are many such problems, but, you know, you begin the process by beginning the process. It isn't going to be ideal. It isn't going to be easy. And the solutions that will come up will be partial solutions, but they must be made. Right now, the issue is Trump and his allies have provided us with a horrible example of just where their heads are at. And we, all of us, whether we're right-wingers or left-wingers or whatever, we come together on the idea of humanity itself. These are punishments being put on families and on children, and we should not allow it, and we should do everything within our power, and that's a lot, all of us, massively, and we have to keep doing this until the obvious lies are revealed to everybody. Anyway, I'm going to give someone else a chance. Thank you for the
call. All right.
All right, 2318187, who we got? John, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
Thank you for this topic. It's very important to all of us. I will also quote the Bible, like Jeff Sessions.
Okay.
Here it has Jesus describing things going bad in the future, and he says, "And because of lawlessness will abound, or the growth of lawlessness, the love of many will grow cold." Or in other words, the sin of despair will grow.
Do you happen to know where that is in the Bible?
Yeah, I can give you the exact location.
Please.
Matthew 24, verse 12.
Thank you.
You bet. And so I just rewatched JFK by Oliver Stone.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it does have the government very efficiently covering up the crime of conspiracy. But it also makes, to me, it makes it clear that, in the wife of Jim Garrison, the attorney the attorney general in New Orleans, who took Clay Shaw to court, his wife seriously doubted that what he was getting at was true. So even his own wife.
Well, I don't think, you know, it's interesting you brought this up, but I don't think in many of these cases you and I are ever going to be satisfied with the explanations of what has happened. And with good reason. We have not got the faith that we need in our system and in our government and being sure that what we're being told is true. And because of that, that works as a double-edged sword. Because of that, all of the conspiracy nuts and all of the people who are frightened on the right of the rising tide of persons of color, as if that was somehow absolutely significant, all of that is fitting into a pattern which can lead to fascism. We have to fight that by getting to know each other, but moreover by getting into action right now. This is the issue where anybody with any kind of mind at all can see the wrongness of what's happening. So, you know, and I thank you, and I really don't want to dip into the world of conspiracy because it's endless. But thanks a lot, man. Okay. Pam?
Morning.
Yeah, Pam. Go ahead.
I just wanted to suggest that while you say there are many things we can do and could do and should do, there's one thing I feel that we should not do, and that is fund the government. Stop giving your money to the federal government, to the IRS. Give it instead to local groups that make more sense, you know, for you. I mean, if you want to stop it, don't fund it, for God's sake. That's all.
Well, that's an interesting idea. I wonder if this. I think there are actually legal paths. For a long time, I played with the idea. I haven't done it, but played with the idea of creating churches everywhere. You know, churches in this society don't pay taxes. So if you decide you have a new religious revelation to bring forth, whether it's a Christian or Islamic or Jewish or Indian fundamental, whatever it is, if you feel that this is the word of the Lord or lords or ladies, then by all means, make your house a church. Make your world a church. Get one or more of you to gather in whoever's name it is and declare yourselves and refuse thereby, perfectly legally, not to pay property taxes and other forms of taxation. This is a moment where people's creativity can be very useful. And it's also a moment where if we fail to act, if we don't do what we can do, you know, oh, I'm not going to go onto this thing, it's raining, or oh, I'm not going to go to the thing, the black blocks there. No, no, no. This is the moment where we all must do what we can. For to be silent here is to be a co-conspirator in a terrible fascist situation. And I want to thank you for the calls. Who else do we have? Oh, okay, Sonia, real quick. We're kind of running out of time.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, my concern is that once you get rid of Trump, whom you are accusing of all of this stuff, you get Pence. What's the difference?
Well, that's an interesting question. You know, that is a very interesting question. I think one of the differences is that Pence faces certain limits because he actually is, I think, authentically a religious fundamentalist. Another thing about Pence, which is interesting, is that I don't think he carries with him the same burden of fascist intent. But I don't know. I don't know the guy.
What I'm afraid of is that he will freeze the cabinet that we now have, those rapists. He hasn't said a word against the policy that we have at the border today. I am so concerned that without his sense of humor and his evangelical bent, that this is just going to continue and continue and continue. I don't think that Trump is the major player. I think it's like Bush. All these people around him are perfectly capable of carrying on without him being there to make a fool of himself. Voting and standing up is about all we can do, and we've got to do it. We must do it. We must be angry, and we must replace everybody in Congress that we can in order to ensure that the people are stalled in the executive branch, stalled from what they're doing, because we can't stop them. But if we can stall them, maybe we've got a chance.
I want to thank you for the call. And I do think raising the issue of what do we get if we get rid of Trump is a valid concern. But moreover, our actual involvement in the political process, our voting, that's the number one issue, number one important thing.
Agreed.
Our voting and our being in the streets and our being at every county commission and every city council and so on, asking for resolutions against this activity and pushing hard to create economic and political and social justice. All of that, if we're really active, can make a difference. We saw reasonable but not complete success in the civil rights movement. We've seen improvements in healthcare. We've seen better schooling. Now it's all being reversed. We need to make sure that it moves forward, not backward. And I'm out of time, and I want to thank you all. And just remember, the children. Remember the children. Exactly.
one nation, one cause, one people, one tribe. Now it's us against the pipeline. Get on your feet for Standing Rock, and we'll show you how strong we could be when we unify.
KBOO hosts beloved community and action movie nights every third Thursday at 7 p.m. here at the radio station. June 21st, we'll show the documentary film Awake, A Dream from Standing Rock. Awake, A Dream from Standing Rock captures the story of Native-led defiance that changed the fight for clean water, the environment, and the future of our planet. Again, that's a screening of Awake for the KBOO Beloved Community in Action Movie Night on Thursday, June 21st at 7 p.m. at KBOO, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Planet's been in decline since 1492, 500 years and counting. Surviving the genocide they call colonizing my turtle island. What is
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Building Bridges, Tearing Down Walls on Sunday, June 24th at 5 p.m. at the Sunnyside Community House in Portland. Building Bridges, Tearing Down Walls features the screening of Dare to Dream, a 30-minute documentary on U.S. students who graduated from the Latin American School of Medicine in Havana, Cuba. John Waller, the National Caravan Coordinator for Pastors for Peace, will speak about how, in 1959, the Cuban people dared to dream a different future for their country, and how the U.S. government has been trying to destroy that dream by economic blockade. Again, that's Building Bridges, Tearing Down Walls on Sunday, June 24th at 5 p.m. at the Sunnyside Community House, 3520 Southeast Yamhill Street in Portland. More information may be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland. And coming up this morning on KBOO at 9 on Alternative Radio, author and activist Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz says it's time to face the truth about Native America. At 10, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11, on stage and studio, DMA features Alaska Native playwright Vera Starbard, and her play Our Voices will be heard. And at 11:30, Art Focus, Joseph Gallivan interviews Daniel Peabody about the sculptor